Morning, Rabbi Say. This week's parsha is Parshas Vayera. And in Parshas Vayera, we find that there is a very interesting story that's about Avram Avinu and Sarah when they banished Hagar together with Yishmael from their home. Sarah Imeno, of course, felt that Yishmael would be a very bad influence on Yitzchak, and Avraham Avinu didn't know for sure if that was the case or not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says to Avraham Avinu, Kol Asher Taimer Elecha Sara Shema B'Kayla. Rashi says that she was on a higher madrega of Nevuah than Avraham Avinu, and therefore Avraham Avinu was supposed to defer to her. And in fact, he did. He sent her on her way together with Yishmael, which was very difficult for Avraham Avinu, of course, to do. And then it says that as Hagar and Yishmael were going in the desert, Vatelech Vatesa, Vamidbar Be'er Shava, Vatelech Vatesa, that they went and they were lost. They got lost in the desert of Be'er Shava. So Rashi says on these words, Chazra legilulei beis aviha, that what it means is when it says in the pasuk Vatelech Vatesa that she went and she was lost, that she went back to the Avodah Zarah of her father's house. We know that Hagar was a princess. She was actually the daughter of Parai, one of the Parais of Mitzrayim, and her father was an Avid Avodah Zarah. She left that when she married Avraham Avinu, and now that she left the camp of Avraham Avinu, she returned. She went back, Legulule Beis Aviha. And the question is, where does Rashi see this from the Pasuk? Normally, you know, when Rashi is saying something, it's somehow, some way, merumas, or you could see it in the Pasuk itself. The Pasuk itself should say this. In some form or another, we should be able to infer it from the pasuk, but it's not clear where Rashi exactly is getting this. How do you know that she went back to Legula Beis? All it says in the pasuk is that she went and she got lost in the desert. It doesn't say anything about her going and doing Avodah Zarah. There was a very famous guy in Telz before the war. He became a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva in France after the war. His name was Mordechai Pogromansky, Ramatel Pogromansky, they used to call him. And he was a brilliant, he was like one of these super geniuses. And they tell stories about him. They wrote recently a whole big biography about him, many stories about his absolute sheer genius. Just to give you one example of how brilliant Ramatel was, that they once sent him a package of cheese from, I don't know, his parents. Somebody sent him a package of cheese. It was wrapped in a Dutch newspaper. I guess the cheese was from Holland, and they wrapped it in a Dutch newspaper. So normally a person, you know, takes the newspaper and throws it in the garbage and eats the cheese. Ramatel studied this one or two pages of a Dutch newspaper, and he learned the entire Dutch language from just reading, from just like being able to like skim through a page or two of a newspaper. He was able to chop the whole most of the language, and he was able to be somewhat conversant in Dutch. Now, whether the story is true or not, I don't know, but they certainly don't say that about me. Okay, so they might say that I ate the cheese, but they did not say about the paper part of it was not included in that, would not be part of that story. So Ramatel was also a very, very strong influence on Rav Mordechai Gifter. Rav Gifter was a Talmud in Telz, as we spoke about on many occasions before the war. And one of his great influences in Telz was Ramatel Pogromansky. He used to speak about him in very, very amazing terms, in terms of his genius, his Torah, his Yerushalayim, everything. He was one of the heroes, if you will, the role models of Rav Gifter. So listen to a vart that Ramatel says, and then we're going to tell you a story that this vart is attached to with Ramatel. So Reb Muttal says a very famous and very yesidistic vart, and that is that a yid is never ever lost. A yid is never lost, which means to say that a lot of times in life we think that we're lost. We think that, you know, either physically lost. Sometimes we get, you know, we're driving somewhere, and let's say we don't have Waze, and we have no idea where we are, and we just keep driving around in circles, and we get more and more lost, or we're walking somewhere, and we have no idea where we are, and we think that, okay, I'm lost. It's not true. A yid is never lost. Wherever you are, there's an exact reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you there. If you're found all of a sudden, you know, you get stuck in somewhere before Shabbos, and, you know, you don't know why you're here, and, you know, why I wanted to be at a certain place, and I couldn't make it, and now I'm here. There's a reason why you're here. It didn't just happen randomly. There's a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to be at this and this place, at this and this time, and you'll probably be able to see over the course of time why you're here, but don't ever believe for a minute that you're lost, because a yid has hashgacha pratis. A yid is always being watched over by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single move that we make is preordained and orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're really never, ever lost. A yid is always in the place that he is supposed to be. Lost means I don't know where I am, and this is definitely not where I'm supposed to be. That's not true by a yid. And Reb Muttal said that if the pasuk says about Hagar, Vatelech Vatesa, that she went and she was lost by Midbar Be'er Sheva in the desert of Be'er Sheva, it must be that she was Chazer al Gilul Beis Avia. It must be that she went back to her father's house, and that she retracted her status as being a Yid, and that she's now doing Avodah Zarah once again. Because if she was, in fact, still a Yid, if she was still abiding by the Torah of the Beis Avram, then the Pasuk would never describe her as being lost. It's not Shayach for a Yid to be lost. A Yid is always exactly where he's supposed to be. Vatelech Vatesa, says Rashi, Chazul Gulu Beis Avia. It must be that she went back to her father's Avodah Zarah, because that's the only way that a Shayach to say about a Yid, Vatelech Vatesa, is if he's not a Yid anymore. Because if he's a Yid, it's not Shayach to use such a Lashon of Vatelech Vatesa that you're lost. I want to just, before I get to the story, I want to just tell you a Ha'ara that I once had. Because if you look later in Sefer Bereishis, it says that Vayimtza Eyu Ish V'inei Saya Basada, when Yosef was going to, by his father Shlichas, to go and find his brothers, so the pasuk says a man found Yosef. Yosef was like looking for them. A man finds them. Rashi says it's Gavriel, and then it says vihine saye basada, and he was lost in the field. It says about Yosef that he was like wandering around the field aimlessly, meaning he was lost. So this seems to be a kasha on the side of Reb Muttal, because if it's true that a yid is never lost, how could you say about Yosef vihine Saye Basada? So what I wanted to say was that perhaps you see from that pasuk really a raya to this vart, because it says Vayimtza'ehu Ish, a man found him, and Rashi says that it was Malach Gavriel. Vihine Saye Basad Vayishaleo Ish Lemer Mativakish. And this man asked him, what are you looking for? And then of course he says famously, Esachaya Noichi Mivakish, I'm looking for my brothers. Please tell me where they are. But since the Pasuk says, before it says Vihine Saye Basad, it says Vayimtza'ehu Ish, a man, it's not normal. What it should have said, Vihine Saye Basad Vayimtza'ehu Ish. He was lost in the field, and then somebody found him and asked him, what are you looking for? Why does it say a man found him, and then he was lost in the field? So I want to say, Fakir, that that's a raya to Reb Muttal's vart. Yosef was never lost. Vayimtza'ehu Ish, he was already found. Before he even got lost, a man had already found him. There was already a bechina Vayimtza'ehu, he was found. A yid is never lost. There's always, you think you're lost, but before you're lost, you'll realize that you're really found. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a reason for you to be here. What's the maisa that goes with this story? Why do we know this far from Ramatel? Because what happened was that after the war was over, Ramatel, who was a big tzaddik also, he made it his business to go and find children that were born during the years of the Holocaust who were not gemalt. Obviously, you couldn't get a bris milah during the Holocaust. I mean, very rare that you have a mayil or somebody who knows how to do a bris, punked when a baby is born in hiding or in a camp or wherever, it's not shayach. So there were many, many boys that were born that they were during the war and they were not gemalt. So Ramatel went and he was seeking out these boys to try to give them milah, and he wasn't a mayil himself. So he would hire a mayil to come with him. And he was going on one of these trips. He heard that there was like three boys in a certain city. I think it was in a big city in Europe that needed a milah. He schlepped this mayil along. I don't know if the mayil was getting paid or not, but he wasn't like necessarily going as a happy camper to begin with. He was being schlepped along, and they went and they took a train, and they were, I guess they were talking and learning or something. They got a little distracted, and they missed their stop on a train. Now, normally it's not such a big deal. If you take the subway, so you miss one stop, you get off at the next stop, it's, 3 minutes away, and you go around. But sometimes, in Europe, they have these trains, and if you miss a stop, sometimes you can go another, like, hour and a half till you get to the next stop. And that's what happened. They were mamash were going a long, long way out of the way, and the mayil was very upset. The mayil got very upset. He says, "We're all fablunged. We're lost. We don't know where we are anymore. We're going to Yehupitz, and like I was supposed to, I have to get back." And he was like, he kept on like making Ramatel feel very bad. And at that point, Ramatel told him this vart about Vatelach Vatesa b'Midbar Bereshava, that Hagar must have gone back Lagula Beis Havia, because a yid is never lost. It's not shat. If we got out of our way for some reason, you could rest assured there's a purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not do this for nothing. I also don't want to go 3 hours out of my way. But if we're being put out of our way, I guarantee you that there's Hashkachas Hashem involved. And the Mayo was skeptical. He was rolling his eyes. Anyway, they get out at the next stop an hour and a half later, and they cross to the other side of the platform to take the train all the way back another hour and a half. And just as they're standing there, there was a person that comes running over to these two obvious-looking rabbis, and he said, "Are either of you a mayil?" So they said, "Yeah, why?" He says, "I've been waiting years during the war to find a mayil for my son. My son was born, in the early years of the war, and he needs a bris milah, and I need to find a mayil." He said, "This is like mamish in some random hick town in the middle of a midbar." And Ramatel looks at this mayil. The mayil feels like really like garbage at this point, because he sees the truth. And then, they went to the house and they gave the baby a bris, and that was the end of the story. But that's how we know the var from Ramatel, because of this context of the beautiful story. But it just illustrates how it's so true. Everything in life happens for a purpose. It's so important for us to drive this into our heads, because so often we feel, even if we're not physically lost, today Baruch Hashem, technology assures us that we can't get physically lost. You have Waze, and if you get a little bit off, you just put it, it recalculates, and then you're back on the road, you're good. But obviously it doesn't mean only physically lost. It means that we're lost in life. There are so many things that we don't know where we're going. We're directionless. We don't feel like we have a certain purpose in life. We don't understand why Hashem put us here. It happens, sometimes we were in Eretz Yisrael and we were steiging, and then we didn't want to come back to America. We had to come back to America, and then you have tainus, like why am I not Shana Dalet? Why am I not Shana Hay? And that, there's a reason. Everything is for a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't send us anywhere randomly. There's a purpose in where we are and what we're doing. And at every stage in life, there's a shlichus that we're on. I'll tell you another story from Mordechai Gifter, the Talmud of Ramatel. So he also has this mesira about a yid not being lost. One time, there was a chasna of one of the Talmidim in Telz. Rav Mordechai Gifter was the Rosh Yeshiva in Telz in Cleveland, and there was a chasna of a Talmud in New York. So him and eight Talmidim flew together on a plane, and they were going to go to the chasna and then come back. The problem was that after the plane took off, there was a very big storm that was brewing, and they were not able to land in New York. So the plane had to be the plane had to land somewhere else, and they chose to land in Washington International Airport, it was called at the time. I think today it was renamed Reagan International Airport, but then it was called Washington International Airport. So here's Rav Gifter, eight Talmidim, missing the chasna of their Talmud and friend, stuck in the middle of a storm in Washington International Airport, and you could pretty much, you know, wonder, like, what they were thinking. I would be, you know, very upset, like, missing the chasna, supposed to miss out on the Kedusha and have eight Talmidim here. Anyway, they didn't even have a minion. They didn't have a minion. So they asked, like, a janitor if they didn't want to daven, like, in the tzibur, you know, in public. I mean, even then it was way before 9/11, it was before October 7th, it was before, it's sometimes you daven with a minion in an airport, but it's not really so comfortable. Everybody's looking at you. And so they asked this random janitor to if he could open up, like, a storage room and let them daven privately. Okay, so this custodian says, sure. He opens the door of, like, a big storage room, and he lets Rav Gifter and his eight Talmidim in, and they start davening Ma'ariv, but without Baruch Hu, without Kaddish, because they don't have a minyan. They only had nine. And this custodian was sort of, just standing there waiting for them to be finished. And then he says, you're not going to say Kaddish? So they didn't know the guy was Jewish, Bechlal. So he said, we can't say Kaddish. We don't have a quorum. We don't have 10 men. He says, I'm Jewish. He says, and if you don't mind, I'd like to say Kaddish. So anyway, so they open a sitter for him, and he very, very, you know, they had to mamish walk him through. He was, like, stumbling on the words, and he got through a whole Kaddish. And after that, you know, they asked him, come on, what's the story, buddy? Like, what's going on? So he said like this. He says his father died about a year ago. He had a horrible relationship with his father. The last decade of his life or so, they weren't talking. He didn't go to his father's funeral. It was so bad. He didn't sit Shiva for him. Things were very, very bad, and it ended very messy. Last night, he said, this is what he was telling Rav Gifter and his eight Talmidim. Last night, I had a dream. My father came to me in a dream and says, I know that we had a bad relationship. I know things were not smooth at the end of my life, and I'm very sorry about it. He says, but I need for you, as my son, to say Kaddish for my neshama. My neshama is suffering. It needs a Kaddish. And I'm begging you to say Kaddish for my neshama. So he says, I answered him in the dream. He says that, I don't know how to say Kaddish, A. I work, every single day, every night. I'm in some random airport. And, where am I going to get a minion to say Kaddish? How am I going to say Kaddish for you? He says, you just say Kaddish, let me worry about the rest. He says, and then all of a sudden you, nine of you, come straight into my airport without a minion, and you ask me of all people in the airport to open the door, and he says, and you allowed me to say Kaddish for my father. And the Rav Gifter used to always say over this story, and this is mamash the same yisoid, a yid is never lost. We think, we get very upset when we're not when we get lost. We're not comfortable when we're lost. We're not comfortable when we're on the road. Sometimes we have tinnitus, where am I? What am I doing? How can I be here? Why should I, why everyone else gets to be, safe, and I have to be here, and I'm stuck here for Shabbos, and I'm stuck here on Yontif, and, I hate it here. There's a reason every single thing that we do in life, whether we believe it or not, whether we see it or not, is for a reason. We have a purpose in everything that we are. We have, as the Baal Shem used to say, there's always an Aveda to be done at every step of life. Sometimes, he says, you know, he had Hasidim that would go and they have to go off in their wagons on these long trips to, you know, do business or to do some mission or whatever. And it's very hard. He says, people complain to me, you know, I don't have a minyan, I don't have my rabbi with me, I don't have my svarim with me, I don't have my chavrusa with me. What am I doing? I'm traveling on the road. My father, Alav Shalom, was a businessman. He used to spend a good part of the year on the, you know, traveling to the Far East, to the Philippines, to India, to, you know, he was buying and selling plastics, like raw material plastics back in the 70s. And, you know, it was hard. It was hard for him. It was hard for the family. He was home a lot, but he wasn't, there were times that he wasn't home for weeks at a time. And, but he made the best of it. He used to, you know, had people that he would go with, and they would make Shabbos suddas together, and they would put pictures of their families up in the hotel room, and they would sing zmiras, and they would do the best of it. There's an avodah to be done at every place that we find ourselves. There's nowhere in the world that we're ever at that there's not, that it's not a makam of avodah. It's a different avodah. Sometimes your avodah is to daven in yeshiva with a minyan and with with kailos abrakim and with your siddur, with your chumash, with your gemara, with you have everything perfect right now. You know, hopefully in yeshiva everything is good for you. You have a chavrus, you have a shir, you have a rebbe, you have a, you know, beautiful building, you have everything going. Sometimes in life, you know, you have to go places and it's not fun. It's not, you know, you have to go, you're an accountant and you have to do inventory in some crazy place and you have to, you know, daven b'yechida. That's your aveda. What are you going to do? But there's always, the Baal Shem said, there's always an aveda for you to do. There's never a place, okay, now I'm mufka from avedas Hashem. I'm not, and when a person has an attitude that, okay, this is not a mukka from avedas Hashem, that's when the Yitzhar gets to you, because that, oh, you know, if I'm not by my minyan, I'm not. So now I'm like, I'm in like some area, some territory that there's no Hashkachas Hashem. Now I can act like in a way that's not becoming for a Ben Taira, because, you know, I'm like, right, I'm Ben Azmanim. It's not here, it's not there. But Ben Azmanim is also Azman. It's Azman of Avaida that we have to learn about how to act Ben Azmanim Dik. And then on Yantiv, we have to act Yantiv Dik. And there's never a time or a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not expecting us to do an Aveda to the best that we can. It's not always going to be perfect. Sometimes, again, you're in an airport and there's people looking at you, and, you know, but you're never lost. There's never a time that you're off the grid. A Yid is always on. In the summer, you know, people think they go, it's summertime, they can go here, they can go there, they can look at this, they can look. It's still time that we're under Hashgacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha. And a Yid is never, ever lost. It's a very, very important, Yisayid. This is something that we see from the Nisayin that we had last week of Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu was sent El HaMakom HaSharei. He wasn't even told where he was going. Imagine being Avraham Avinu. You have everything here. This is my father's home. This is my father's city. This is where I grew up. I know all the streets. I know I know all the people here, for better or for worse. But this is where I grew up. This is where I am. All of a sudden, you get a tzivah from Hashem. Lech Lecha. You have to pick yourself up and just go off to a place that I will tell you. What do you mean, place that I will tell you? I want to know where I'm going. I don't mind, Lee, if you tell me to go somewhere, but tell me where I'm going. No, you're going to go and you're going to travel, and this is going to be your Aveda. Your Aveda is you're going to be in a place that it's not your father's house. It's not a place that's comfortable. It's not a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even revealing to you. But Avraham Avinu went, and this is the first Nisayan of Avraham Avinu, according to some Rishayim. Lech Lecha is one of the first events, and, you know, the last, according to, again, it's a big machlegas, what are the exact of this, are nisayanis, but the Medrash compares the first nisayan to the last nisayan. Lech lecha me'arzecha miladecha to lech lecha that we're going to have at the end of this week's parsha, lech lecha l'aretz meiria, akedas Yitzchak, also was started with lech lecha, because they're very similar. It's very difficult sometimes to leave a place that you're comfortable and to go out into a world that we're not comfortable. And this is so true when a person, you know, leaves yeshiva. happens all the time. I'm comfortable in yeshiva. It's like it's safe. It's secure. I know everything. Then all of a sudden I get married or I don't get married and I go after I start working, and I go into this big world and I feel sometimes a person feels like so lost. I had a Talmud who is like a very very chashuv Talmud here in yeshiva, and then he calls me. He started working in like a law firm, accounting firm, I don't know. And he started calling me like a few months after he got his job. And I asked him, how's it going? How's the job? He says, you know, it has its ups and downs. It's difficult. It's not yeshiva. He says he was very tall. And he said that it was like sometimes you're faced with like these crazy issues. You don't have a Rebbe to talk to at the time. He says, you know, it was Kratzmach. It was like right the holiday season, like we're about to enter now. And he says, and they were like assembling a Kratzmach tree in the office. And they had they put a star on top of the tree. He says, and they said, whatever his name is, you know, Eddie, you know, could you do us a favor? You know, you're tall. Can you put the star on top of the tree? Now, you know, he doesn't have a chance to call a Paisik. He doesn't have a chance to call a Rebbe. You just like instinctively, okay, sure, you know, boom, you know, and you know. But then afterwards, he felt very bad about it. But I'm thinking to myself, like, here's a boy a few months ago who was learning Kitzayis and the Sivas and Rashbas, and now he's putting a star on top of a Kratzmach tree. It's a little bit of a, you know, rude awakening. It's like a culture shock to be, you know, to put it mildly. And sometimes a person out there could feel very lost. Sometimes you feel, and it happens a lot, you know, that what am I doing? Like, I want to go back to yeshiva. I want to go back to... That's definitely a very, very understandable feeling. And, you know, and it's natural. It's a natural feeling. But a person has to always keep in mind that, you know, whatever we do in life, there's a purpose. There's a purpose in everything. If this is right now where I am, this is what I have to do to the best of my abilities. I'm not lost. This wasn't a misstep. It wasn't a, you know, every day we say in davening, HaMeichin Mitzadei Gavra, one of the Birchas HaShachas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the feet, the footsteps of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the footsteps of man, meaning every single footstep that you take is accounted for. There's no missteps in life. It seems sometimes, hey, I made a mistake, I should have done this instead of doing that. It's wrong. You have to, obviously, you know, you have to calculate everything beforehand. You have to speak to a Rebbe, and you have to, you know, make sure every decision that you make is well thought through and makes sense and has seichel to it. But once you make that decision, you have to stick to your guns and be proud of your decision and look at your decision like, al-chatchila, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me, this is what I spoke to my Rebbeim about, and this is where I am. And even if sometimes things seem very off, but there's a reason. You have to just give it time, and you'll see. Hashkachas Hashem, you're going to find a purpose. You're going to understand, you know, lemafreya, sometimes immediately, sometimes it takes a while. But you'll realize why you made certain decisions in life. You'll realize why I took this job. You'll realize why I went to this yeshiva instead of that yeshiva. You'll realize why I married this girl instead of that girl, and why I moved to this neighborhood instead of that neighborhood. And sometimes it feels wrong. Sometimes you feel like, you know, you made a huge mistake. But there is no such thing. There's no such thing for a yid to be lost. If this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned it, and you did everything right, you did everything Altaris HaKadosh, and this is where you are, then rest assured that there is a purpose, there is meaning in what you're doing. It might seem menial, it might seem wrong, it might seem that, you know, that you want to go back, you want to retrace all your steps. But generally speaking, obviously there are certain exceptions, but generally speaking, when a person does things properly, then wherever you are, there's a purpose, there is a mission. There's a shlichus that you're on, and you have to be proud of your shlichus, you have to be proud of your mission, and make sure that you always remind yourself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, sitting next to you in the car, kaviyachol, and guiding you. One time when I was at a chasna, when I was a bachur, I was a chasna in Queens. There used to be a big chasna hall called Astoria Manor, And I was in Chaim Berlin. I was driving back to Brooklyn, and it was a cousin of mine's chasna. He was from Queens. And he asked me if I would drive Reb Zelig Epstein back from, from the chasna. He lived in Brooklyn. He was Rosh Shiva in Queens, in Sheara Torah. Would you mind driving Reb Zelig Epstein back, home to Brooklyn? It was a few blocks away from where I was going, and it was obviously a big schluss. Reb Zelig Epstein was the Gadol Hadar in America. I mean, he was very, he didn't want to have any political role. Like, the Rav Shach used to beg him to, take over, to be at the helm of, like, the Aguda and Termesaira and all the big organizations in America, to be on the Mayetzes. He didn't want it. He didn't want any of it. Everybody knew that he was, like, the Chakima de Yehuda. He was, like, brilliant, and his Eitzes were sought after by everybody. And he was, he had Das Taira, he was everything. But he didn't want to, he just wanted to learn and be Rosh Shiva. He did not want to be that involved in the public arena for whatever his cheshbainas were. Anyway, so here I was a bacher. I had the Gadol Hadar in my car, and it was before Waze. And without getting into specifics, it was like I took a wrong turn. I got off a highway. It was like the highway split, and I got off the highway, and I found myself in like the worst neighborhood in Brooklyn. Today, like, all the neighborhoods became yuppies, so like it's hard to find a bad neighborhood because everything is expensive real estate today, and they moved everybody out. But then it was a really, really, really bad neighborhood. I was officially lost. Whatever Muttal said, I was lost. I was very, very lost. And I was very nervous because it was very dangerous. And here I was with Reb Zelig Epstein sitting right next to me. And I was like, I was just thinking like what the articles are going to say, like how this happened, And Reb Zelig saw that I was like nervous. He says, "What's wrong?" I said, "Rosh Shiva, we're lost." He says, "No, we're not lost." He says, I know these streets so well. He used to be Rosh Shiva in Brooklyn before he moved his yeshiva to Queens. Anyway, he knew like these streets like the back of my hand, like Mamishka, like Kishvili de Narada, like by like the streets of Narada. He knew the whole neighborhood perfectly. He says, you're gonna go to the next corner, you're gonna make a left, and you're gonna make another left, and you're gonna get back on the highway. He mamish like he was like a human Waze. He got me right back. And we were back, and before you knew it, we were in Brooklyn. We had a very interesting conversation in the car, which is maybe for another schmooze, but suffice it to say that I wasn't lost. I had Reb Zelig Epstein next to me, and I felt like it was already, v'imtzeeyu ish, v'inei saye basada. It was already found before I got lost. And that was the feeling that I had. I had a feeling like, wow, this is amazing to have somebody next to me that's not only God, but he makes sure that I'm not lost. And Lahavdil, the Eibishter is like, that's the way we should be feeling. We should be feeling like we have the Eibishter sitting next to us. And no matter where we are, no matter what we feel like we messed up, we might have messed up in we did Averis and we feel lost that way. And we feel like, we're so far gone from Avedas Hashem, from who we could be, that like we're already like cast away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to look at us. We're so bad. It's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting right next to us, lovingly guiding us. You're okay. You're good. Everything is going to be good. We're fine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mad at us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. We feel lost. Okay, that's because we have a Yetzara. We slip up sometimes. We feel lost. We feel like we're not necessarily in the best place. That's human. But always know that you're not lost. The biggest and worst avera that a person could do is to have yush and to feel, that I'm lost, I don't know where I am, I'm not that. As soon as you feel that sense of distress and that feeling that, of abandonment and that you're alone, that is the opening that the Yetzer is waiting for, and that will lead a person to do the worst averas. But it's so important to drive home this yisayid of Ramatul that a yid is never lost. We're not lost. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting next to us in the car. Sometimes we're driving, we think we're lost. We're not lost. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. He's sitting, he's directing us, he's guiding us, saying this is exactly where we're supposed to be. Don't worry about a thing. We got this. We're going to get through this together. And as bad as it seems, and sometimes it seems really bad, and it seems we're really in a very terrible place, a terrible matzav, everything is falling on us. But know that there is a purpose. There's a challenge is a challenge, and we have to get through the challenge. We have to push through it, and sometimes it seems impossible. But know that there is always a path through. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding our hand and going to take us through, and he's going to make sure, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Avraham Avinu, side by side as they went, Lech Lecha Me'aretzchem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him, there's going to be a bracha at the end. You're not going to see it yet, but when you get there, you'll realize, you'll look back at all the steps that you made, and understand that there was never a single step that I made in my life that didn't have a purpose. Even though it seemed like you weren't lost. It was all the Hashkachas Hashem guiding you through every moment of life. And amidst Hashem, we should always remember this Yisayid and live this Yisayid. And hopefully, amidst Hashem, we will all get to our promised destination with Hatzlacha and with Gesund and with all things that are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzin. Have a beautiful Shabbos.